Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 252, recorded on May 1st, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And I feel like I'm part of the club again, because my Apple Watch showed up today.
Yay!
Yeah. And I feel so much closer to you now.
Because we shared heartbeats.
Because we shared heartbeats.
It was something else. So you went and you picked it up from your UPS, I don't know, depot or something, right?
I have a UPS drop box that I pay for. A mailbox at the UPS store.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you don't actually get stuff shipped to your house.
Right. Gotcha. And this way I don't have to be around when stuff shows up.
That's really clever.
Yes.
Because that was one of those things that everybody was panicking about. Yeah, Adam Christensen from the MacCast, you have one of those?
Yeah. And we're one step beyond now.
Are we?
In terms of, you know, one more step beyond.
Yeah, I guess.
We're one step beyond. In terms of our iOS and beyond.
Yeah.
We have one more beyond.
Yeah, it's the watch. And now we
kinda cool.
Continue looking beyond.
It's how we roll.
Yeah.
Just have to know what the next beyond is.
Well, let's give it some time.
Apple TV. We still need the updated Apple TV.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. Of course, our sponsor this week is Smile with PDF Pen Scan Plus. We'll talk more about them later on. But yeah, how did you know we were going to talk about Apple TV right off the bat? Because I didn't send you guys any show notes as if you read them.
You know how, like, when two women live together?
Oh.
And then their cycles just sort of... Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Our news cycles are
synced. This explains so much about us.
Yeah, yeah. So the Apple TV shipping estimates have slipped to 1 to 2 weeks, and we're, what, three weeks ahead? No, not three. We're like 8 weeks out from WWDC. We're some period of time from WWDC, and so we're thinking there's a connection there that we're going to see some kind of new Apple TV hardware at WWDC, and that explains it.
No, I don't buy that. You buy that?
No,
nope. I don't know if I buy it.
No, I mean, it there would be no, if they're either doing something without that's not related to, if it updates now, let me back up and see if I can talk. If it updates now, or if an update is on the way now, that means it's not something tied into WWDC. Mm-hmm. Because what would happen at WWDC is they would announce maybe a new Apple TV coming and new APIs, but that wouldn't affect shipping times right now on current Apple TVs. Like, they wouldn't slow that stuff down, I wouldn't think.
I agree.
So
yeah.
The two events have to be unrelated. I think more the latter is true, that Apple will have some sort of Apple TV-related announcement at WWDC with new APIs and new tools for developers, with maybe a new Apple TV like in the fall or sometime over the summer.
That seems a lot more reasonable.
Yeah.
Because why would they release a new Apple TV that coincides with what developers are doing and not have developers on board already?
Yeah, unless they've gotten close to finishing up now this TV deal, you know, the streaming TV thing, and it's just something they're doing on their own. But I think it would really have to be two separate things. I guess if they launch a new one with a streaming TV service and then follow that up with, you know, some additional updates, software updates that come after that to new hardware that enable more stuff for developers, I guess it could roll out that way. But
yeah, that's,
I don't know.
That's the only way that makes sense. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be waiting until WWDC to see something that makes sense, and that we have to wait even longer for developers to get on board for any of the changes. We could just see a new rev of the Apple TV and then a software update later on.
Yeah, I guess.
And we could see some new Apple apps, for example, depending on what they're planning to roll out, and so we could get a feel for what they're expecting on the Apple TV as far as apps go.
I mean, yeah, I think whatever they do with the Apple TV, especially if it's only going to be like, I can't imagine big updates to the hardware other beyond like new processor, you know, updating the processor and a few other things.
Yeah, but CPU, GPU. Maybe more local storage,
yeah, I don't
RAM.
Know.
I think that, well, depending on if they're planning on allowing this new stuff, whatever it is, excuse me, if they're planning to let this stuff, the new software, live on the current gen Apple TV, you got to wonder how greatly they're going to improve the next gen Apple TV. And how that would affect what will run on that versus what we have now.
Yeah. Apple TV is just in a weird place right now.
It's always been in a weird place.
Yeah,
well,
but
yeah, it has. But
more
but
so
now more so.
Yeah. Well, only because we decide that it is. There's nothing. We haven't seen anything at WWDC. I guess there's the firm speculation that we're going to see the streaming TV service, which I am not convinced is going to be that great. But, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy with Netflix.
What would make you think that, Beats? What?
I said I'm pretty happy with Netflix. You know?
Yeah.
And I've got Amazon Prime for watching. I'm kind of surprised.
And HBO Now?
Yeah, there's the HBO Now, but you get a lot of the HBO stuff on Amazon Prime. But, yeah, so I think that there's a lot of stuff already within the Apple TV that certainly makes a case for cutting the cord. And that's the big deal, right? Is making the switch from sucky TV service over to Apple TV that's better.
That's what I do. Already. It's Netflix and HBO Now and stuff bought off iTunes for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
Just added the HBO stuff, obviously, but
yeah. Okay, so living with our Apple Watch, Adam and I have had some time to enjoy the watches. And one interesting story, interesting because it kind of goes both ways, the battery life affecting the iPhone as well as the watch in general. But some people say, hey, I've been looking at and interacting with my phone far fewer times now that I have the watch. And so I have a lot more juice left over at the end of the day on my phone. Whereas some other people say, hey, this totally kills my iPhone battery now that I have it linked up. And it's actually from Jackie Chang. Is she still with,
with Wirecutter.
Okay. Yeah. But, she knows what she's talking about. So it's interesting.
She's saying she's getting less or more.
Less. So Apple Watch battery life, 16 to 20 hours. iPhone paired with Apple Watch, seemingly 0 hours, is a tweet that she threw out there.
I haven't noticed any battery life issues with my phone.
I haven't either. And there was one day, a few days ago, where I think I went for like a 20-minute jog and I'd kind of gotten beyond the first couple days of screwing with my watch constantly. I think this is Tuesday. And by the time I was going to bed, I think I had around 7% left of my battery. And I resisted the urge.
How many hours was that, though? I mean, like, what time did you throw it on and what time did you go to bed?
I think I went to bed around midnight and I woke up around 8. So nothing crazy. Maybe 7:30. I don't know. So it was just kind of
that's
a standard
like
16 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was weird. But I guess the interesting thing is I resisted the urge to top it off at some point and just see what would happen. And it suggested I would to go into power reserve at some point pretty close to bedtime. And I just dismissed it. And the following days afterward, it seemed like I had improved battery life. So I'm kind of wondering if the circuitry hadn't fully calibrated itself to the battery yet, or maybe I'm just crazy.
I don't know if you're entirely crazy, because after that one, you know, my second day with the Apple Watch, when I had that weird thing with the green lights on the back, you know, started getting stuck on after I did a workout at the gym, I have not had any issues. I've been getting really great battery life. And turns out Allison Sheridan, who I told the green light story to when I had her on my podcast, figured out what the green light, how the green lights get stuck on. And it's user error, of course.
You did something
it's
wrong.
It's not a technical glitch. If you fire on the fitness app, the minute that you open up the fitness app, the green lights go on. And if you don't ever end your workout, the green lights stay on.
Really?
Yep. Well, good to know.
So make sure you go in. And this was something I lost a workout, just so people know. Like the first time I did a workout, I didn't realize you had to like scroll up and say save. So after you finish your workout, when you force touch to end your workout, so you have to force touch, tap end, then you have to say either save or dismiss. Like you can throw away the whole workout if you don't want to save it. So I guess if you had a
bad
workout.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it should just really auto-save, I would think.
It seemed kind of natural to me based on the other apps that I've used.
But why not auto-save it, and then if you want to go back and delete it afterwards, you can go back into the workout app and remove it.
That makes a lot more sense.
Because you tap the wrong button, and you know it's not like the tap points are huge on the watch.
And if you don't see the save button prominently, well, there you go.
Yeah, and it is below the fold. You know, it's, you got to use the digital crown to kind of see it, I think, from what I am remembering. So,
yeah,
at least on my 38 millimeter, maybe it's different on the 42.
Now my LEDs are on. Now they're off. Yeah, as soon as you open that workout app, the LEDs go on. So what you're saying is they stay on it until you hit the save button.
Right.
Wow.
I noticed even like sort of quitting the app or exiting the app didn't seem to turn them off.
Interesting. Because it took about 30 seconds for the lights to turn back off after I just...
exited the app?
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't wait long enough either. But I think she's right. I think I still did have the workout running. So if it was still like running timing and I hadn't hit actual end, even after 30 seconds, I don't think it'll go. I think it'll stay on until
that makes sense. Until you end it.
Yeah, you got to end the workout.
I would imagine ending it would probably set it on that 30 second delay or what have you.
Exactly. Okay. So user error.
Yeah,
but that probably led to the battery running down too, because I probably had it on, you know.
Yeah.
15 minutes longer than the workout was, so it would have been like 45 minutes of solid workout.
Yeah. Yeah. So for the other thing, follow up on the battery, last night I decided, okay, my battery life seems pretty good. Last night I went to bed after, I think I did a workout. I don't know if I think I topped it off afterward. I can't remember. But, I came to the conclusion that it seems like the battery is pretty good.
I have not had a single issue getting through an entire day
and
having battery left at the end of the day. And almost everybody that I've talked to is the same experience. I have heard very few reports of people saying their watch even went into power reserve mode.
Yeah.
I just had that one day, which is really proving to be a total anomaly for whatever reason.
Now, is this, what kind of percentage you get down to at the end of the day? Like 30?
It's just been varying depending upon how much I'm interacting with the watch.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm doing a lot of the digital touches and responding to messages and, you know, like looking up data, playing trivia crack, you know, on those heavy days, maybe 30%, 20-30%. But other days I've been at, you know, 40-50%.
Wow. So you're getting really good battery life.
That's really impressive.
Yeah. That's much better than me. And I can't get trivia crack to work at all on mine. It just keeps saying, hey, you need to start a game. And I'm like, there's a game. There's like two games going. What the heck?
But is it your turn?
Yeah.
If you're waiting on somebody,
wait.
I don't think it'll come
out. There are two different game types with that, right? There's
right.
The classic and the other.
Yeah.
Which one?
Classic is the one I play most.
Okay, so maybe I'm not doing the right game, because the one that I play
is the challenge where you answer two or three questions from each category, and whoever gets the most wins.
Yeah, it's like a there's a whole bunch of questions. There's no spinning.
You can challenge
wheel.
Like up to like 30 people or something like that. It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We've been doing the challenge, so I guess the challenge doesn't work on the watch.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I haven't tried a challenge on the watch, yeah. But regardless, I mean, I think the point is if you're using apps a lot, if you're doing a lot of glances, if you're, I mean, it just really depends on how much you're interacting with it.
Yeah. But I've decided to pull the battery life complication off my watch face and swap it for activity because I think that obsessing over the battery life is a bad thing and it's unnecessary, clearly, because I haven't run out. And yeah. So I threw it into a glance instead so I can check it if I really feel the need. And I'm at 77% right now.
Yeah, I'm at 78% or 76%.
Yeah.
And I had it on at 6 a.m. this morning, 6:30 a.m. And it's now 2:30 as we record this.
Yeah.
So.
Doing pretty good. Now,
I'm at 49%, but I've had my watch for an hour straight out of the box and haven't charged it.
Yeah, and you did a bunch of syncing and stuff, so.
Right, but it didn't even have 100% charge when I got it.
I think most people had about 70.
Yeah, mine was about 70.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking about 60.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Have you guys noticed the digital crown kind of stops working every once in a while on my watch? It just kind of stops responding.
Really?
Yeah. Doesn't work for scrolling. And it's not just third-party apps. It's... Every once in a while, I just like, I'm not going to do anything.
Well, you know the UI hangs up every once in a while.
Well, I could scroll with my finger.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That is suspicious.
Yeah. Well, I have a giant list of Apple Watch bugs going, so.
They're all really minor, you know.
The alarm like is too quiet.
They're a little nitpicky, annoying bugs, right? Like,
well, like the alarm being too quiet? I don't think that's that nitpicky.
Or not being able to set up Apple Pay?
You have that problem?
Why can't you set up Apple Pay?
I get an error that says my Apple Watch can't be found and make sure it's not in airplane mode and that it's not too far away from my iPhone.
Hmm.
That's not good.
Yeah.
But I've been able to sync over apps and set up my glances and everything else. Oh, so it's okay. Not like so my watch isn't communicating with my iPhone.
Maybe need a reboot.
My big dilemma yesterday was I couldn't order a burrito.
From Chipotle?
Yeah.
That's horrible. How'd you survive?
Yeah. How did you eat? How did you eat food?
I couldn't get it. It said log into the app. And I'm like, I was logged into the app. I'm like, it's logged into the app. Dang it.
You're standing in the lobby of the Chipotle like a dummy. Like, I can't order because my watch.
Mm. No, luckily I was doing it in the car, and I was about 10 minutes. I had just finished my workout, and I was about 10 minutes from the Chipotle, and I'm like, oh, I should try this, you know, because I wanted a Chipotle.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, that's cool. I can order it up and then just go in and pick it up. Well, the problem is you've got to, they get 30 minutes to make it. So just like... Okay, this isn't going to work. That's where that ultimately led to. But I wanted to see how it was and how the you know iPhone app would work.
Yeah,
I was playing around with it. And you have to actually make an order on the phone first because that kind of sets your default burrito order. And then they have a one button on the watch that's like, your order favorites. A burrito. And then it orders from your favorite store, you know, your sort of stock order.
Yeah, so you can set up some like preset burritos or whatever.
Yeah, your usual, and then just like, boop.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've ordered a burrito from my watch, or, well, not from my watch, but from my phone. I don't know. I guess I stopped eating at Chipotle, but I think I'll throw it on there. I think the big story for me with the watch is trying to suffer through all of the different UIs and experiences to see how it fits into my life. So some stuff seems to, once you figure it out, it seems... to become more and more natural, and some stuff you're like, hell no, that sucks, and you delete it from your watch.
I'm surprised at how good messages are.
Yeah, those work pretty well.
I'm doing a lot of messaging. Somebody told me, I gotta find the article, somebody told me someone investigated and that the Apple Watch might be using an updated or newer like Siri parser.
Ah,
that's kind of cool.
It's a bit delayed sometimes.
Well, yeah, because it's got to go back through the
Yeah, that's true. It does have to round robin through the
But have you noticed, like, if you watch it, it'll do like a first pass translation and then kind of go back and rethink, and then it'll do like almost a second pass where it gets more accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have noticed that. That's pretty cool. Have you noticed that with alarms, I've noticed tapping the dismiss or snooze button the first time, and actually with a lot of different things, that the first time you tap it, it just doesn't do anything. You have to tap
yes.
it again.
Yes, that's a huge bug. Yeah, I get that all the time.
With alarms or
it's
everything?
It's kind of annoying.
All over.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Tons of it.
Yeah. And so I've learned to kind of press and sort of leave my finger on the button, and that seems to work. Like, eventually it'll kick in.
That's nice. Yeah, and I'm really, one of my favorite apps is the music app. That thing is like rock solid and works really well. I love that. But I wish the remote app, when accessing an iTunes media, an iTunes library, would actually show the music. It doesn't provide you any access. So with the Apple TV, it makes a little bit more sense that the only thing you can do is the little navigation control thingy where you swipe. But on iTunes, obviously that doesn't make any sense. So you really just have play, pause, fast forward, rewind when you're connected to an iTunes library, which is very not that helpful.
Hmm.
But I imagine, you know, if you look at the way it worked, Jeff, you're probably keenly aware of this right now, that it took a little while for your watch to actually understand what your phone, what music was on your phone.
Well, what I did just to get everything up and running, because I wanted to minimize my setup time.
Sure.
I told it no music.
Ah, okay.
So I'm going to add that in.
You're talking about syncing music to the watch?
Right.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the actually just remote playing the stuff on your phone.
Oh, and I haven't even gotten that far yet.
Okay, yeah, but it seems like there's some kind of local database on the watch that keeps track of what is on your phone, and I would imagine that's the big deal. And it seems like it's similar to, like, if you pull up on your iPad the video app and you do the shared library, there's a little bit of a delay. It has to load the entire database of I don't know if it's just music, just videos, or if it also applies to music, but I've seen those sorts of delays. And I guess it's the same thing if you do a remote library from your phone in the music app. So maybe that's not even in there anymore. I don't know. What else? Oh, I must fold my arms in a way that they didn't realize people fold their arms, because I keep triggering the screen and it goes crazy. You ever have that, Adam?
The screen comes on quite a bit more than I would like it to.
Yeah.
When I'm just moving around.
It also makes me think that maybe I shouldn't wear a watch on my left hand. It makes me think, oh, maybe I'm more of a left-hand person than a right-hand person, because it seems like it triggers way more than I would expect.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot. A lot of people have mentioned just turning that feature off.
I wouldn't like that.
Well, and I think we discovered if you turn that feature off, I think you can't use Apple Pay, because you have to disable basically the wrist detection, I believe. And you can't use Apple Pay if you don't have the wrist detection.
I'm not sure about that. I think those are discrete things.
Okay, if you can find the settings, let me know.
I think you're talking about raise to, yeah, activate on wrist raise versus wrist detection. So when this is on, raising your wrist will wake the Apple Watch display. When it is off, you can wake the display by tapping it.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, now I see it.
Yeah, and I still got Apple Pay, so yeah. no biggie there.
Wrist raise, that's what it was called.
Yeah.
I got the two settings confused. I've almost thought about turning that off, because you might get better battery life. And really, when you think about it, you can just tap the screen to turn it on. And Andy Anatko kind of pointed this out. You know, it's like you'll quickly learn muscle memory. So as you're lifting your watch up, you just sort of reach over and tap the screen. It doesn't take that much longer than just turning your wrist.
It
does turn it into a two-handed operation.
Yeah, it turns it into a consistently two-handed operation, whereas it's occasionally one-handed.
Well, you could use your nose.
Yeah, there is. I was thinking about that today. You can use your nose. I mean, in the end, it comes back to the fact that battery life is working out for us, and
yes,
it's not that big of a deal. So
that's a good point. And the thing is I would rather have the false positives than too many negatives, you know, where it's like you want it to come on and it's not. And there still are some of those.
Yeah,
and it's kind of frustrating.
And, you know, again, we're on 1.0 software, which is almost pre-release because...
Yeah, for Apple.
Yeah, at this point in the game, yeah. So I think we're probably going to get a little bit better battery life with the next update. We're going to get a lot of bug fixes, maybe improved UI experience for some things. So I'm not worried. It seems like the battery life is working out for us. Like I said, I pulled that from my watch face, so I don't obsess over it. So I think it's going to be okay.
And it is nice that you can just tap the screen. Like, I almost sometimes wish I had that on my phone where I could just tap the screen and it would come on, but not really.
Do you ever do the thing where you raise your phone and you expect the screen to come on?
I haven't done that yet, no.
Yeah, I've had that
I do miss the raise to speak feature for Siri. That the loss of that I still mourn.
Me too. I'm glad I'm not the only one. And it's so much nicer than, I mean, you can do the Dick Tracy out in public, but it makes so much more sense. It looks way less crazy when you're putting your phone up to your ear and doing that rather than the literal Dick Tracy move and you look like a crazy person. But I guess we're just going to have to wait for everybody to understand that.
I just put my finger sort of to my ear, like in my ear, and then the watch up, and then people just think you're in the Secret Service.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, see, that's really smart. I'm going to start doing that. Like, I'm doing it right now.
Do you ever... I was kind of bummed the other day. I went to Starbucks to try the paying for something with my watch. And the other times that I've paid with something with my watch, paid for something with it, you know, you get the response, oh, that's really cool. That's the Apple Watch. Oh, it seems to work really well. And I went there and I was kind of bummed because she just was absolutely not entertained by the fact that I was paying with my watch. She's just like, whatever, here's your latte. Leave.
So are you having trouble getting your watch up to the scanner? Because I haven't had a chance to do this yet.
No, it works.
I'm envisioning this thing where I'm having to get my, you know, twist my arm around and some.
You do have to contort a little bit because at Starbucks they have them pointed weird. You know, they're like pointed sort of sideways most of the time.
Which makes sense for a smartphone.
Yeah.
I had no problem whatsoever. You just got to realize that you're going to be doing a curl over. I mean, I think part of the instructions for doing Apple Pay, the NFC aspect of it, is that you have to put the watch face on the scanner, right? And so it's the same sort of move, and maybe they're oriented differently at your Starbucks, but it worked. There was no problem for me when I did it.
Payments and Apple Pay make a good case for doing the whole wear the watch with the face on your inner wrist sort of style.
But the heart rate monitor doesn't work if you wear it that direction or isn't as effective. Is that right?
I don't know.
That's what I've heard.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was some kind of engineering problem why they didn't allow that.
Or maybe it was actually the raise to wake up the watch thing that didn't work right.
I think it was the heart rate.
I'm trying it now.
Oh, speaking of which, I really enjoyed this Qantas, the airline.
Mm-hmm.
They made their little ticketing app update for the Apple Watch, so you could hop on board using your watch. You just scan the watch and you hop on board. Well, it turns out that you can't fit your arm with the watch on it under the scanner, so it doesn't work at all. and a lot of people were blaming Qantas for not testing this, saying, oh, you couldn't have just thrown a watch on and seen if it fits in the scanners, you know, because it's pretty similar in size to other watches. And yeah, I agree, but I think this speaks to a more general problem, and I think you'll also realize this, Jeff, after you play with it for 24 hours or so. The Apple Watch, the Apple-made apps are very good for the most part. I think they've been vetted. The bugs have been ironed out. And it's a pretty good experience. Third-party apps, not so much. I have not really been impressed by... there really aren't any apps that I've been impressed by, the third-party apps. They're all kind of weird, a little bit wonky. I guess the OmniFocus app is pretty decent, but I feel it feels lacking. And I think that's... in all cases... it is because the developers, one, didn't have time. They didn't have access to the hardware. I think maybe some did. But the difference between, say, the Apple Watch and the original iPhone was the original iPhone was out for an entire year before there were apps available for it. And so before the apps, developers were able to do anything, they had these things in their hands ostensibly right. for at least 6 months, and they saw right. how all of the Apple made apps work, and they saw what Apple's vision for this product was and the user interface and all that, and how you navigate through hierarchies and how you just bring all that data together in the interface in that context. And with right. the watch, they didn't have that at all. I mean, yeah, they had the simulator.
Yeah, they were blind. Going into this.
Yeah, all they had were the videos of people using the watch. They didn't yeah. have any sample. I mean, if you look at the simulator of the iOS of for iPhones on your Mac, you can use a couple different apps. There's nothing for the Apple Watch. So they didn't get any sort of feel for how yeah. any of the apps worked. And I think that has really contributed to the kind of not so greatness of a lot of these apps that are out there. And I don't blame the developers at all. I think that they're going to get better over time simply because they realize how the watch truly works. So it's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's almost an experiment. We'll see nice updates to these apps before too long.
Yeah. But, and then of course there's the other aspect, which is that these things are still very rare. It's surprising how few people, developers especially, I've interacted with and said, hey, there, I found this thing in your app. It works really weird on the watch. And I say, hey, do you have hardware to test this on? They say, no, but I'll fix it. So it kind of stinks right now. And you got to wonder if someone did a study on this, what the lead time on developers really getting it together and understanding how to make these apps, if it would have been better to restrict it to no apps at first versus what they've done with it. If it's going to take longer for developers to figure out how to truly make these apps in Apple's vision, or if it's going to be quicker. I don't know.
No, I think
this was the way to do it.
Yeah, because you've got some good apps on launch. They're not great apps yet, but they're good apps, a lot of them. And they're going to get great in a lot of cases. And, you know, you brought up what I've been saying is exactly the same thing, Michael, which is, you know, the whole tactile experience. It's one thing to have the simulator and you can kind of guess, but really you have to have that tactile experience. You have to like feel, how is this working with the digital crown? How is this working with a force touch? You know, does it really make sense? And I have a feeling a lot of the developers, once they get the hardware, are going to go back and sort of rethink some of the decisions that they made you know, prior to actually having the hardware. So
who makes Overcast? Is that Marco?
Yeah.
Yeah. He tweeted out like day after he got his watch saying, holy cow, this, you know, having the actual hardware makes me rethink the entire interface for Overcast. And I think that that's one of the apps that people have pointed to as saying is one of the better apps for the watch.
Right. Yep. No, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. I think it's going to be a couple months before we see a big boom of great apps. Or, well, there are some great, potentially great apps there, but it's still going to take a while for them to really come into their own on the watch.
Well, and it's going to take getting to native apps too before we really see the platform at its fullest potential. Like we're only seeing it at you know, half speed right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to wonder how many of the built-in Apple Watch apps are the CarPlay on your wrist sort of apps versus true native apps. Because there are certainly native apps on here, but I think some of them still feel kind of unresponsive in the same way that the non-native third-party ones do.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more I've been playing with the watch, the more annoyed I'm getting with the way glances work right now.
Yeah,
the developers had no idea. This is just completely out of their control.
Yeah,
like, most are useless.
Yeah, I'll have glances where I go to view them, and the watch face just finally goes black, and they still haven't loaded.
Yeah, I've definitely had that quite a few times. But once they, it seems like once they load in, they kind of figure themselves out. And again, it depends on how well they were developed and a lot of factors. But I recommend having few glances just for the fact that swiping through glances, as we talked about last week, is kind of painful if you have a lot.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you guys talked about that last week, and then Dave Hamilton was reiterating that to me yesterday. And so when I started setting up my watch, instead of letting it push everything over, I went and selected a handful of things and said, okay, let's put these on. And even with just selecting a few, I immediately realized I put too many glances on.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know the one thing that upset me about the calendar glance? You would think, given that it has more space, it looks like it will give you a potentially larger list of your appointments. It just shows you the next appointment.
Yeah, I've actually thought about taking that glance off.
I did.
Because it's not showing me anything more than I can get with the complication on the watch face.
Exactly, and that's why I removed it. Because why add another thing to they have to swipe through? So, yeah. Let's see here. And so Apple has officially come out with a rule, and they've been rejecting apps based on this rule, that you can't have an app that its primary purpose is to show the time. So you can't roll out an app that is effectively a watch face.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You don't want to overcomplicate that experience. And I think that is one half of the reason. I think the other half is Apple is, they have to be planning to allow developers to create watch faces.
You can use Siri to ask her the time on your watch, which is hilarious and funny.
You do that.
Oh, no kidding.
What time is it?
She will give you a good like little snarky comment along with it too.
Yeah, I got it's so. Time to gaze persistently at a Dolly painting.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, a lonely sandwich.
Yeah, I saw his
Legazor. Sounds, is that how you spell his name?
Lesagor. Yeah.
Tweeted that out. I was like, I would have never even thought to ask Siri on my watch what time it was. You're looking at,
of course,
the time.
Adam did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good times. Yeah, so let's see here. So there are some other issues. Sticky digital crowns. Some people are saying they get sticky digital crowns.
That sounds like a first world problem.
Like, go wash your hands.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So Apple's recommendation is run it under some water. And I'm thinking, dude, I wash my hands several times a day, and the watch gets wet almost every single time. So what the heck is going on with you people? Don't you wash your hands?
I'm going to guess for a lot of the people, the answer is no.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's the case for everyone, but I'm betting that's the case for many people.
Yeah, they go and like eat a tub of honey. And they're upset.
I mean, I'm making fun of this, but I mean, is this a real thing? Is this are there some that are maybe just wound too tight? It's kind of a watch term, but yeah. You know what I mean. Like, is this the thing where people are saying, "Oh, I got mine, and it's just got a sticky like it's an actual defect," or is this like I've been using it and crud's getting under there, and now it's stuck.
It seems like for the most part, rinsing it solves the problem, but for, I think there have been a couple cases where they've had replacements.
Like, I don't know, is it a messy eater problem? Like, how are you?
Like, I think some of these things are kind of overblown.
You know, like you just ate peanut butter and jelly, or, you know, had like honey or something like that, and
Then you're
tweaking the digital crown and it's getting gook under it.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And the other one was, I enjoyed people saying, oh, why do we have to rinse off our watch after every workout? And I'm like, come on, it's sweaty. You wouldn't want to rinse that off?
Oh, they tell you to rinse it off?
I've been
wiping mine down. I don't necessarily like run it underwater or anything.
I just run it. I mean, because I'm going to go shower after I work out. So I just, you know, take it off, run it under the faucet for a second or two. And I don't think, let me see here.
So is that like an Apple thing? Like Apple recommends after a workout, you sort of give it a bath?
No. It seems like, so according to MacRumors, some affected users have said that a water rinse does not solve the problem or solves it only temporarily, while others have expressed dissatisfaction at potentially needing to rinse the Apple Watch after every workout because they're speculating that it's some kind of, I guess, sweat and crystallization situation.
Hmm. I don't know. I've been working out since I got the watch, and mine's flowing smoothly.
Yeah, I don't have any problem. But and then so the real issue, I think, of all the issues that have been talked about is the tattoo issue.
No.
Oh, come on.
This is, I mean, it's legitimate, yes.
That's what I mean. It is okay. A legitimate issue. I don't think that it's like, oh, tattoo gate. I think it's like, you know,
it is a thing. It is physics-wise, it's a thing. If you have opaque ink on your arm, the sensor will not work for you.
Yeah. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems as though it does not only affect the heart rate sensor, it also affects wrist detection, which allows you to keep your watch unlocked.
Oh, I would imagine it would. That would make sense.
So for those people with tattoos, you're going to be... You're either going to be entering your password every time you want to do something or not using Apple Pay on your watch.
Or, again, moving it to your other wrist.
Yeah.
Unless you have tattoos on both, then maybe putting it on your inner wrist and wearing it on your inner wrist, which I just tested, and the heart rate sensor seemed to, for me, be the same reading whether I was wearing it inside my wrist or on top of my wrist.
Okay, that's cool.
Well, maybe you'll get maybe there'll be a software update that accounts for the underside of your wrist raising thing.
So, yeah, my only issue with the whole tattoo thing is like people are making it sound like it's some like conspiracy on Apple to, you know, against like tattooed people.
Yeah.
Right, like they're discriminating against this group of our society, people who like tattoos.
Yeah, that's clearly what it is.
And I don't think that's what was going on. Yeah. It's just physics, and these are the kinds of sensors that most people are using. And it's not just Apple, right? It's like other fitness trackers, heart rate sensors. There's other devices long before Apple that were using this technology, and tattooed people would also not be able to use those.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's something to be aware of. If you have wrist tattoos, then just know you maybe... The Apple Watch isn't something that you want to pick up if the heart rate sensor is something that's important to you.
May want to give it a try. Well, you get the 14 days, right? You can send it back.
And I guess it's more like darker or opaque, more opaque inks seem to cause more issue.
Right, yeah.
That makes sense, though.
In the Mac show today, someone in the chat room did point out that this is an even bigger issue for green-blooded Vulcans. Because it doesn't work for them either.
Of course not. Well, actually, it may, as long as they're not tattooed, because the way this works is it sends a light beam through your skin.
Right.
And then and what it's doing is it's reading the light that gets bounced back. And so it's really looking at skin opacity.
Oh, and it's not looking at like the actual blood pumping through your veins?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Interesting. No. So I didn't. Yeah, I guess there must be some kind of.
Yeah, so this should work fine for Vulcans, since Klingons tend to have much darker skin, and I think it's thicker also. They might have trouble.
That was actually tested because that came up too. No, seriously, like Doc Rock was mentioning, he has a cousin, I guess, who has really, really dark skin, and he's going to double check. But supposedly Apple's addressed that, and it was tested on many, many different skin tones and skin colors. That would have been a huge issue.
Yeah, like, that would have been.
Out, yeah, you're right. That would have been a huge issue.
The heart rate sensor doesn't work for black people. That would be bad.
Yeah. That would be
then we would have a gate.
Yeah, that would really be a true gate.
Yes.
You'd be screwed on that one, Apple. Yeah. Now, so I guess the conclusion there is, I've been curious, how does Apple do the wrist detection? How do they detect when you have pulled the watch from your wrist as a security precaution? And I had just assumed it was some kind of capacitance thing.
I assumed it's the heart rate sensor.
Yeah. So they must, if that's how they do it, you got to wonder how much battery that pulls. And I mean, it's not doing the LED, but it's, maybe there's some kind of extra sensor that just senses the wrist.
Have you noticed you can unlock it when it's not on your wrist?
Yeah. What do you mean? Like, you type in the passcode?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I don't know how long it stays. It doesn't seem to stay unlocked.
No, it doesn't.
For a extended period of time, but you were mentioning the story earlier about the airport scanner. I wonder if you could unlock it long enough to scan the...
Yeah,
you know,
at that point...
Off your wrist, long enough to scan the ticket or to use Apple Pay, you know, for like a single transaction.
At that point, you should just pull your phone out of your pocket.
I know, but I mean, I'm curious about it. Curious, will Apple Pay work when it's not on my wrist? Because I thought the whole point was it had to be connected to the wrist. But
I don't
after
know.
Seeing that I could unlock it temporarily, would it actually let me do an Apple Pay transaction without it being
physically
on my body?
So I type in the passcode. Yeah, it'll let you do Apple Pay.
Well, it'll bring up Apple Pay. I don't know if it'll actually process the transaction. That's where I'm curious.
Very true. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, it looks like... We'll have to go do a field trip and try some experiments.
Yeah, field trip. Okay. What else? Oh, we got to talk about the faulty Taptic engines.
That's a story.
That is a real... Yeah, that's a pretty significant story. So this is from...
Yeah, but there's also the important part about the story that a lot of news sites have completely screwed up. But I'm sure we'll get to that too.
I'm sure we will. So the Wall Street Journal has the story. They say that essentially what happened was one of the suppliers making the Taptic engines for Apple didn't do it right, and they all failed pretty quickly. So Apple had to... ditch the whole lot and stick with the one supplier and ramp up production at that one supplier. And that is causing a major constraint on supply of the watch. Did I get it right, Jeff?
Yep. Yep. You nailed it. That's exactly right.
And now the big thing to note is none of the faulty Taptic engine watches went out.
And here's where the other news sites are screwing it up.
Okay.
Because they're saying that that the Taptic engine in the Apple Watch is defective.
Yeah.
And Apple shipped it.
Yeah, that's way wrong. Now, it seems like John Gruber probably got
one. Yeah, they shipped it to early reviewers, but that doesn't count.
That doesn't count at all.
Yeah.
No.
You don't
that's
see
probably
Gruber
how they found out that there was a problem. I'm guessing Gruber's was like the...
Yeah.
Patient
I hope
zero.
Apple sent him a fruit basket.
They did. It was called an Apple Watch. He got to play with the Apple Watch before anybody else. That's
a pretty schnazzy fruit basket right there.
Yeah. I mean, and you can buy a fruit basket with it too. So
you can.
Yeah.
You just won't get an alert, well, at least with Gruber's original watch.
Yeah. So I would imagine that Apple didn't do anything so crazy as to... I mean, did they assemble a lot of these watches? And
there's speculation that they did.
I would assume so, yeah.
And had to just essentially scrap them.
So they threw them in the garbage, or they had to pull
them out? They disassembled them.
Yeah, they disassemble them, and then they'll put the good working Taptic Engine components in.
They had to probably be rebuilt. There's probably a bunch.
And so those will go into the refurb supply.
Yeah.
The replacement. I mean, they need to have a replacement supply too. So.
And that's where those will come in.
Yeah.
That's my guess. They didn't just take all these and throw them in the trash.
Yeah.
Or put them in a landfill in Utah.
They probably did throw the defective Taptic engines somewhere.
Yeah, they gave them to starving children.
Right. Hey, those kids are hungry.
Here, eat this Taptic engine.
Don't worry, it won't tickle.
It won't tickle because they're defective.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So we got some cool stuff. Talk about our watches. MCX. That's some big news. And a little bit more. Before we do that, we're talking about our sponsor, Smile, at smilesoftware.com. Right? Smilesoftware.com. Got that right.
And good job, Michael.
Well done.
I'll kill you. Smilesoftware.com/tieoffs. That's where you want to go to check them out. And we're talking about PDF Pen Scan Plus. And of course, these guys, they also make Text Expander, which you may have heard of. And, you know, it brings your typing into the future. And PDF Pen Scan Plus brings document scanning into the future. So you download this app and you say, hey, I want to scan this app. Or scan the app. You can scan the app if you want and take a screenshot. But if you want to scan a document, maybe a document with a bunch of pages or business cards or what have you.
Receipts. It's very good for receipts.
Receipts. Yeah. It is magical. So with the 2.0 update that they've put out there recently, all you do is you open the app and you point the camera at the thing. And it... when it says, hey, this looks good to me, then it just automatically takes a snapshot, finds where all the edges are, and then it OCRs it, and then you can throw it into iCloud or Dropbox or whatever, and then you get access to it from those services, and then you can have your computer read those to you, or obviously they're searchable because they're PDFs, and they can be multi-page PDFs or what have you, depending on what you scanned in. And it's just magic. So, of course, you could take those documents and throw them on a flatbed scanner or one of those little bar scannery things. But I think those all take more time and you don't have them with you. So, of course, the best scanner is the one that you have with you, especially if it works well. And this does. So check it out. It's a PDF Scan Plus. And if you already own other Smile apps, they have a bundle on the App Store, so you can get it at a reduced rate, which is pretty cool. And yeah, it's magic. So check it out. And yeah, with that, cool watch stuff. I like that they've DisplayMate Technologies. They've taken a look at the Apple Watch screen and they say, hey, this is a pretty good screen. And they also say that the color and everything about the display has been calibrated to match the iPhone 6, which is a totally Apple-y thing to do, right? Because you're going to be
really smart.
It's really smart, yeah, because you're going to be using the thing side by side with your watch and your iPad. It makes sense. You don't want your eyes to have to adjust to stuff as you're going back and forth between these devices, especially with your watch. And the most interesting thing of note is that the sport version is far less reflective, the display is, than the Apple Watch or the Edition with the sapphire cover glass.
Yeah, I hear we got the better display.
Go us.
Yeah,
and then supposedly the 38 millimeter has a slight advantage too for some reason.
Do you know why?
So they told me. I don't.
Okay.
Pixel density? I don't know.
Maybe no. I don't think it's pixel density. I mean, it might be, but it seems like there are if you compare the home screens of the 38 and the 42, you get a couple less apps on the home screen. So it the resolution is lower. I don't know if the density is lower or higher or what. I would imagine it's probably the same density, and they just, you know, cut
it. Just shave some pixels off.
Yeah, they just take some scissors and just cut off some pixels.
That's how they do it.
Yeah. And I would like to mention that the using it outside is very nice. So I was curious about that, and I've not had any issues. I actually have my settings set to the lowest brightness.
I did that too.
Lowest brightness?
There is very little difference between the lowest brightness and the brightest brightness, at least as far as my eyes can see.
There is not.
I have not even tried the brightness yet.
Yeah. I think it comes defaulted on about medium, or is it?
Oh, yeah. It's on medium.
Yeah. So just crank it down one. If you tap that little bar deal, you can hit the thing on the left and it'll bring it down. But once you interact with something that could be adjusted with the digital crown, then you can adjust it with the crown. So there's an itty bitty tip for you. Let's see here. Oh, so we've gotten a look at the S1 chip. Thanks to people who like to tear Apple Watches apart. And 512 megs of RAM in there. And I guess that is... There really aren't any other interesting bits in there so far, right? Other than 512 megs of RAM. It seems like... Do we have any comparison between the... do we know what the CPU and the GPU and all that stuff is? As far as clock speeds and... I'm curious to know how it compares to the original iPhone.
Actually, that would be kind of neat to know.
I'm guessing it's faster and better.
I would guess too. And that would be very, very cool.
Considering the original iPhone.
Yeah, the original iPhone. But I mean, the original iPhone was still very functional.
Well, how much RAM did the original iPhone have? Did it even have 512? I don't remember.
I think it did have 512. I think. But man, that was a long time ago. I have a hard time remembering what I had for lunch yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can pull this up here. RAM, not found. Thanks, Wikipedia. Mac Tracker.
Is that in Mac Tracker?
No. I have to... Oh, wait, memory. 128 megabytes. Holy cow. Yep.
Holy crap, how'd we get by?
I'm telling you.
I don't know, it's like we were living in the dark ages.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I think I don't think I got the 4 gig. I got the 8, but they did have a 4 gig out there for a while.
Not for long.
3GS only had 256. We didn't get 512 till the iPhone 4.
Holy cow.
No kidding.
Wow. We are so spoiled. Yeah, this thing's got RAM out the wazoo. It's got RAM out the crown.
There you go. So I would venture to guess that it more than bests the original iPhone in terms of performance.
Maybe even the 3G or the 3GS. Certainly the 3G. I don't think they really changed.
Isn't that crazy? 3G.
That's awesome. What else? Oh, so iFixit, they did their teardown. Very cool.
Wait, we don't have Geekbench for the Apple Watch yet?
I don't think it would even work. Because it would probably just benchmark the iPhone and be like, hey, it's an iPhone.
You know, once developers can start writing native Apple Watch apps instead of the little companion things that they're doing now, that will get Geekbench for the Apple Watch.
Yeah. That'd be so awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so Apple or iFixit did their teardown. And at some point they got kind of frustrated, it seemed like, and they just... started tearing things out and just cutting wires. So they pulled the display off pretty gingerly. They got the battery out and the display off. And then at some point they were trying to pull.
And then they found just a glop of parts.
Yeah, called the S1. And they...
Well, we knew that though, right? Because didn't Apple make a big point about the whole thing was going to be like basically sealed in silicone?
In resin, yeah.
Like they said it.
They did. And I think we all expected it, but I think it
was... We're going to cover it in goo.
It's covered in goo.
And then I was like, oh, they really meant it.
Yeah. So they were able to pull out the Taptic engine, the display, the battery. They got a little gander at the how the digital crown works. And then they started unscrewing the S1, and then they went, we can't really pull this out without just tearing all these wires off, so yoink.
And so they did.
Yeah, so they yoinked it and got a look at the bottom, and then they actually made some repair manuals already. I mean, there are starving children who don't have their Apple Watch yet, and yet iFixit had enough Apple Watches that they could actually not only tear one down, but also make a repair guide.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think so. So they have a battery, screen, and there was maybe one more. Oh, the NFC antenna, I guess you can replace.
Did you see they had to mod their tri-wing screwdriver?
Oh, that's right. They did.
Oh, they had to file it down, didn't they?
Yeah, because the screws are so tiny.
Yikes. Yeah, I remember the days of pulling apart watches. Yeah, that's... They're going to have to make some new screws, new screwdrivers
for that. Yeah, well, I'm guessing, I mean, you're talking at this point, you need to have jewelers kind of tools.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But what do they give for the repairability score? Do you remember? It was one.
It's got to be a one. I don't know.
I think it was like a five.
It was actually better than that because the crystal and the display... The display and the battery are easily replaced.
Yeah. Oh, wow, they did. They gave it a 5. Didn't they give, like, the MacBook a 1?
That sounds right.
But the MacBook has screws on it. This thing you have to, like... I'm surprised they didn't suggest using a tiny suction cup to get the screen off. But they said use your little heater that the iFixit heated up thing. The thing you throw in the microwave and you lay it on the screen to soften the glue, and then use a curved knife, a very sharp knife, to get between the display and the body.
Yeah, they did give the MacBook a 1.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, if you look through these guides, the pulling the battery out, once you've begun separating the screen from the body, it looks like a piece of cake.
Well, the battery?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, Apple's got to have their engineers. I mean, pretty much the parts that probably would be commonly needed to be replaced in store.
Yeah, display and battery.
Yeah.
They both look pretty easy to replace. The only thing you have to do is get some new glue. And
yeah.
Not a big deal. They actually, it seems like they already have them. They have like 15 you can order right now. Probably fewer now that I'm looking at it at this point. Adhesive strips. They have... I wonder if they have any more. I don't know. Whatever. So good job, iFixit. Discover has announced that Apple Pay support, they will be supporting that this fall. Jeez Louise, that takes forever. But yeah, so all of you with Discover cards, which I totally forgot about, you'll be able to use your...
I don't think I've ever seen a Discover card in the wild.
I haven't either, but...
I have, but that's only because my dad thinks it's the coolest credit card ever.
Why is that? Does he have real reasons?
He thinks that the rewards point thing that you get, because it includes some cashback stuff, is better than anything else. I think he also secretly really enjoys complaining loudly at checkout stands when he pulls out his Discover card and they don't take it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about Simple right now.
Yeah.
Discover is the CW of the credit card world.
What's the CW? That TV channel?
Yeah.
How's that?
It's like Dawson's Creek, you know?
Oh, yeah. Totally stepping on your joke. I'm sorry.
No. I just mean like it's like you have all the networks and then you have CW and it's like you have all the credit cards and then you have Discover.
Oh, yeah.
You have Discover. Yep.
Yeah. Who watches the CW? Exactly.
Considering my dad loves his Discover card, probably him.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But you
maybe
know
I should have said UPN, but I don't think they're around anymore.
UPN.
Oh,
it was Paramount.
I think you're
network.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it called UPN?
Uh-huh. United Paramount Network. Their anchor show was Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
You sent me more messages, Jeff?
Yeah, he's been drawing at us.
I need to work on my drawing skills. Adam, yeah,
these are really
totally
crappy.
Trumped me with your reply.
Except I was trying to draw a green alien, and it ended up just looking like a stick figure, dude.
Was this like a little Mario mushroom that you sent? That second one?
I'm not even sure.
I don't know what that was. Are those Goombas?
Yeah, it might be something like that. I'm not even sure. What I wanted to do originally was draw a pretty intricate face.
It's very clearly failed.
I failed.
Have you tried your stylus
trick,
yet?
I'll give you the tip, because I gave this tip on the Mac show, I think, Jeff. The thing I had to realize is I worried at first like there was going to be some sort of statute of limitations on like how long I could draw for.
Mm-hmm.
But you can sort of, you know, there's a good, you know, few second pause before it actually sends. So you can kind of take your time on stuff and, you know, go a little slowly.
That's good. I was actually deliberate. Thinking about trying a stylus.
Yeah.
Somebody else has said that if you tap the little color change wheel, it sort of pauses everything, but doesn't erase your picture. I think if you pick a new color, it will, because you can only draw one color at a time. But I think just if you need time to think about something, it sounds like you can tap the color thing and it'll sort of pause your drawing and not send it till you come back to it.
Oh, that's
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, yeah, it does. And no, it went away. This isn't working.
No. Then they lied to me.
Yeah, you've been
lied
to. Did you get a face, Jeff?
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, way better than the crap you were sending me. But I used a stylus, so I cheated.
Yeah, that's way better. Look at that. Hair, the nose, everything.
Yeah, all the parts of the face.
Oh, and Steve Jobs is going to roll over in his grave because someone's going to have like a little attachment for like a mini stylus that clips onto the side of your Apple Watch.
Like dangling by a little string. It's an itty-bitty stylus.
A little Barbie stylus.
Sounds so good. Okay, let's just breeze through these ship date thingies. So pre-order estimates, they're getting better. Yay, everybody. Jeff got his. Were you in April, were you a first run person, or were you second run?
No, I was May 13 through 27.
Okay, so you got yours before the predicted time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So did Victor Cahiao and George Starcher. I think they were in the same group as you, Jeff, and they got theirs.
Yeah. And Brian Chaffin, he was in the same group, but as of the last time I asked him about it earlier today, he was still stuck in processing purgatory.
Hmm. Are you a sport though, Jeff? And is Brian getting the stainless?
Actually, I think he did go with the sport because he was anticipating getting rid of it after a year. But I'm not certain. But Brian did go with 42 millimeter, and I went with a 38.
Hmm. And you're what color? Space gray?
Space gray sport. Yep.
What's the space black? Is that one different?
Yes. Space black is the stainless steel.
Okay. And that one is easy to get? Easier than most?
No.
Or super hard?
Super hard.
It's really hard. Yeah. All the 42 millimeter stainless steel models, if you order them now, that's pushed out to July.
But you're probably going to get them earlier. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I think everybody who is scheduled for June right now, or a majority of them, would not be surprised if they all got them this month. I think Apple's playing quick catch up. And I that's why I kind of buy the story about the Taptic Engine being the issue.
Yeah.
I don't know how they decided which ones would roll out and which ones wouldn't, like why they're doing the sports quick. Seems like they're doing the sports quicker than the stainless. But, you know, again, my only thought there is maybe it's purely a production time per watch. Like, I would love to know how long it takes to mill each enclosure. Is there a significant difference in time?
Well, I don't know.
Because even,
they probably have tons of the enclosures. I think it's more what they've decided is going to be in higher demand. And I would imagine that depending on how they had their process set up, the Taptic engines for half their models or however they had that set up could have very greatly affected one side or the other of that.
Maybe the supplier that was doing that had the issue was already slated for specific models and they didn't want to change that.
Yeah.
That could be.
Yeah. But we're just talking out of our butts, so we don't really.
I have no idea, but I mean, that would kind of, I mean, it seems illogical if you're the person who was in that group and you're like, well, we'll just shift some over from the sport model. But I mean, the way supply chains work and inventory management and all that stuff, I'm sure it's like more complicated than that. It's like we already allocated these Taptic engines going to these devices and those going over there. And
yeah, I'm sure there's a lot more to it than just move those pallets over to that assembly line.
Right.
Yeah. If only. Okay, MCX.
Oh, MCX.
Merchant something exchange? I forget what it's called.
Is it not commerce?
Yeah, stupid commerce exchange thing.
That's the one.
Yeah, so the one that you have to scan the QR code, and then they scan a QR code, and then you do a little dance, and then you pay for something.
Make a little love.
Yeah.
And they have direct access to your bank account.
Yeah. So they were partnered. So it was a bunch of different merchants, and they wanted to avoid paying credit card fees. Merchants such as Walmart and Best Buy and Target, and you've heard the story before. And it seems like the first domino has fallen, because Best Buy, according to Tim Cook during the quarterly earnings call, said that Best Buy has begun accepting, or I don't know if they put out the app update yet.
The app is out. When Tim Cook made the announcement during the earnings report, the app update had just rolled out.
Okay, cool. So the app is out. You can pay for things on the Best Buy app using Apple Pay. And is it after summer or this summer we're going to see Apple Pay in Best Buy?
I was under the impression it was going to be fall.
Later 2015 is what they say.
Yeah, but that may be because of when the new card readers are going to have to roll out across the board.
Do they not have the NFC card readers?
They do.
Did. I don't know if they still do.
Because I tried to use Apple Pay at their terminal.
And it said error or something, but it linked up, but it didn't work.
You know, it beeps. The watch says, yes, I sent the info, but then their machine just sits there stupidly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because they disabled the whole NFC payment across the board.
Right. No, I get why.
Well before MCX, but yeah.
I've been doing this silent protest, and I've encouraged other people to do it. My kids get really mad at me when I do it. They're like, you know, they don't take it here.
And I'm
but I'm going to annoy them every time. Do you take Apple Pay?
Oh, you don't.
Oh, let me try it.
Oh, it doesn't work? Oh.
Yeah.
So is it the same deal at Target?
Silent protest.
I've been told that you can get it to work at Target sometimes.
I got to get out my cards. Hold on.
I could have just waved my wrist at it, but I guess I can do it this old way.
Guy, it's like living in 2000.
Stone knives and bearskins.
Yeah. So you can be that guy.
I'm going to start calling you Dad.
God. And I'm not sure this is related, but it's fun to... The media wanted to report the fact that the day after this was announced, the CEO of MCX probably left on his own accord, but we're not really sure. But there's a new CEO at MCX.
Interim CEO.
Best Buy is still listed on the website.
The guy is still listed?
No, Best Buy as one of the merchants.
Oh, yeah, because they are.
I got clarification on that. So here's the deal, and this came straight from Best Buy. They told me that they are still an MCX supporter, and that's why they're listed on the website. and they're evaluating whether or not they will actually support current C when it launches.
Aha. Yeah, that's, I've heard that.
This thing is going to die so fast. I'm just predicting it right now.
My guess is that when it finally rolls out, the only company that's going to be using it is Walmart.
Yeah.
And they'll be pushing it, and everyone will be pissed off, and eventually they'll just cave.
Well, you know, the thing is,
I hope so, because there's a lot of retailers on here that I would normally shop at and would love to be able to use Apple Pay at.
Yeah. There are so many. Every time I do Apple Pay at a place, the cashiers are like, "Oh, that's so cool," and there are, you know, people in line like, "Oh, it's really handy," and it's clear to everybody around that it makes sense, and they're not just like, this is a gimmicky thing. They're like, I want to do that. So
I have a lot of, I seem to have more false reads than I would like, though, still.
Really? I haven't had any.
Yeah. Where the watch will, I'll put my thumbprint on, it'll give me the check mark, it'll say done, and then the person's like, nope, didn't go. Nope, didn't go. You have to like wait for the beep. There's like a ding or a beep that usually happens, I've learned.
Yeah,
so so don't trust the phone screen. When it says it's done, it's not done.
So maybe I'm just more patient than you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, when I did it the second time I used my watch, it didn't give me a tap, or I didn't feel the tap.
Mm-hmm.
But it did go through. But usually it gives you a tap. And I have everything silenced on my watch, so but yeah, it's interesting. Is Target one of the there they are.
Target is one of the companies on the list.
Yeah, I go to Target all the time. I really want
Chili's.
I go to Chili's.
Well, and when they've got both Target and Walmart, what are you going to do? Because that's like
totally. It's all the bargain
shopping. Yeah, except Target.
That's monopoly, basically.
Yeah.
Target, they're kind of chummy with Apple. And
you can do the Target app. Target app.
Well, here's the stupid
Apple
thing:
Pay.
They take Apple Pay. They take Apple Pay for online.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that's just the precursor to. To doing what Best Buy is doing right now.
They I would imagine
add it
so.
To the app, and then this fall just roll it out across the board.
But here's the frustrating thing. They also do in their app online, you can do in-store pickup. So if you choose in-store pickup, you can't use Apple Pay, even though it will say you can use Apple Pay, but you'll try to use Apple Pay and then it'll fail.
Interesting. Because do you have to have some kind of whip out your card to prove that you bought it that way, or
no? It just knows that you're going to the retail stores, and the retail stores won't take Apple Pay. So, but the app doesn't really tell you why.
Just
your payment's failing.
Errors.
It's just like, yeah,
huh?
I sent them an angry email. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It says right there, Apple Pay. Because I picked pickup in store as my option, and they were not clear. The angry email was like, just say, you know. Oh, sorry, we don't take Apple Pay for in-store pickup. Like, make your message be clear so that I'm not, you know, thinking there's something wrong with my Apple Pay and troubleshooting that for 20 minutes, which is what I did. I'm like, I don't get it. Why can't I make this payment?
And the response was, well, did you try using your Discover card?
Exactly. So just tip for people.
But that's good to know, and they should have a very clear.
They may have fixed it by now. I mean, this was when Apple Pay first rolled out, and they were one of the early supporters online. Which is another thing. Going back to my burrito conversation, because I'm pretty sure that Chipotle is owned by the same parent company as McDonald's, or owned by McDonald's, or is that not true anymore? And it was true at one point. I don't know if it still is true.
I believe they still do own them.
And McDonald's takes Apple Pay, but Chipotle didn't. So I was a little bummed like that. So I can order a burrito with my Apple Watch, but I can't pay with Apple Pay. So hopefully they fix that sometime soon.
That would be nice.
Yep.
And there's a second beta of iOS 8.4 out there with the revamped music app that I think looks totally stupid and I'm upset about. And I would love to hear why I shouldn't be upset about it, but it seems like Apple is changing the music app just to change it and make it look fancier and harder to use.
Oh, perfect.
And well, I mean, I'm looking at a screen.
That stands to reason because that's what they've been doing with iTunes.
Yeah. Joy. Joy of all joys. Yeah. So these, I'm looking at a particular screenshot here on an iPad of the music app. And I see along the bottom, of course, you have the little tab bar. It says music, playlists, radio. There are only three buttons for some reason. But someone has, no, I should specify that the first button says My Music. And so that button is selected, and above there's a little search field, and in the center it says trending searches, and at the top there's a little toggle between, and again, this is on the My Music screen, it says radio and My Music. I'm sorry, what? Why are there two different buttons to do the same thing? This seems kind of crazy. What are they doing?
That's actually really stupid. Well, it is beta. So maybe,
but it seems like they're making some changes that are doing the sort of things that like RDO and Spotify are doing with that stupid thing that hangs out at the bottom. And you have to, I mean, they're not doing the thing where you have to swipe to the left to do a search field, but the dumb thing that hangs out at the bottom to get to now playing. Why can't, I mean, the original freaking music app worked perfectly. iOS 1.0. It was perfect. Don't change it.
You know, yeah, I'm with you. And wouldn't it be awesome if someone would make the command decision at Apple and say, okay, look at version 1.0. Let's make that.
Yeah, because it's gone pretty far away from that, and it worked. Ugh. I mean, it was clear that when Steve Jobs presented that in 2007, that he was very proud of that app in particular. Because he made a big deal out of the tab bar at the bottom and the way that you could customize those things. And I mean, everything
was great.
Worked perfectly. So it just, it seems like, and from what I hear from people who use it, they say, yes, they've added some shiny to it, but now it's harder to use. So I'm not pleased.
That's just awesome.
Yeah. So... I don't have any more to talk about. And
I need to clarify the Chipotle thing so I don't get emails.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, and this is something I didn't know. Jeff, did you know originally all the Chipotles were only in Colorado?
Yes, it started in Denver.
Nice.
I have eaten at the original Chipotle more than once.
Awesome. So apparently McDonald's became an investor in 98, and by 2001 was the largest investor in Chipotle, but I guess they never really quote-unquote owned it.
Oh, interesting.
And then they divested from the company in 2006. So
Chipotle doesn't have McDonald's ties at all anymore.
Nope.
All right, well, good to know.
Yeah. Cool. All right, pick time. Let's do some picks. Adam, you can go first because you seem excited about it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna make a pick, and it's somewhat part of a larger pick, and I did this larger pick on the Mac show today because I was really impressed. So someone tweeted out, and I apologize because I don't know who sent it out, but somebody tweeted out a image of the number of apps that Microsoft Corporation has out for iOS right now. And it is
a pretty big iOS supporter.
It is a lot. Yeah. I tried to take a screenshot and I couldn't even fit them all on one screen, basically. So if you look at what Microsoft Corporation has in there, and one of the ones that was in there was something that I got to play at Disneyland in their sort of innovations center, which is a Microsoft thing. So they have like Surface tables and stuff like that. But it was right when the Kinect came out. For the Xbox, and there's an Xbox Kinect game called Kinectimals, like Kinect Animals, Kinectimals. I think that's how you say it. And it's basically little big cat cubs, so like tigers and lions and leopards and cheetahs and stuff like that, that you can adopt as like virtual pets. And like it is really interactive and really kind of cool. So you can swipe around and teach them tricks and you know, get food for them and you earn points and you can kind of see how they're doing. and you can play jump rope with them and throw the ball, and really kind of interactive, creative, and fun. And it's like $2.99 on the App Store. And I kind of was interested in it because I had played with my kids at Disneyland, and thought it would be something they would enjoy, but we don't own an Xbox. So I went ahead and downloaded it when I saw that in the screenshot, and it's great. It's really cute and clever and fun, and I think kids would like it a lot. And you can kind of level up and unlock additional characters, and you get to name your little character, and you know, so it's just one of those kind of fun things, and it's really well done. And I think you can actually port, if you have an Xbox, you can take your little critters and you have the game for the Xbox, you can take them back and forth as well. So I thought that was great. And then, so then the broader pick is just Microsoft in general on iOS, because I think the Office apps are really good. I've heard really great things about OneNote, although I don't use it. Microsoft Drive is really good. And you get, I think, I want to say you get unlimited storage if you're on 365.
I believe like you're right.
A very large amount. You know, it's like way more than Apple's giving you with iCloud. And I just think Microsoft's being very, finally being very progressive and open. And I think just the number of apps and the variety of apps that they're putting out for iOS and Linux. The other thing I was impressed by, I know it's not directly iOS related, but Michael, you'd be into this. Have you checked out Visual Studio Code, which they just announced, which is an IDE code editor for Mac, Linux, and Windows with built-in Git support, and has support for all kinds of languages with code highlighting, code completion, lookup, as well as I think it even supports Objective-C as a language.
Wow.
And it's free.
Neat.
So, you know, just kudos to Microsoft for finally like getting off that whole thing and embracing iOS and moving forward. And I think it's going to be really good for them. So I wanted to pick a Microsoft game. So Connectimals.
Cool.
$2.99. And there's a new free version that's more like Dogs, but it has in-app purchase, and you know how I feel about in-app purchase, but that's fine if you want to get a free one. And there is a free version of the Connectimals too, if you don't want to pay $2.99, but it's well worth the $3 if you're into that sort of game. It's not really my game, but I knew my kids were going to love it. So
neat. All right, Jeff, what's your pick?
Mine's a pick that I think all of us have made more than once. But it seems appropriate for me today because I'm all excited about how it's working. And that's 1Password on the iPhone, because I'm loving how the Apple Watch app actually does work for me. And you can go and pick exactly what you want to have show up on your Apple Watch. So I have like 5 things that I want to make sure are always there. So once I turned on Apple Watch support in the app and went into each of the different entries and just tapped the little add to Apple Watch thing, that was it. It was done. And it was pretty slick. So 1Password is free now, as I recall, but you'll have to do the in-app purchase for the advanced features, and then you can use it with Apple Watch.
Cool. The one thing I noticed about that, not to step on your pick, I really do like 1Password, but they, for some reason, you can't like throw your driver's license in there.
And you can't throw bank accounts in there.
Yeah. What's the deal with that? Is that just they haven't gotten around to it, or?
I don't know. That just struck me as really weird.
It seems like those would be the super obvious ones, but.
Right.
But you can throw a credit card in there.
You can throw credit cards, you can throw notes, you can throw password entries, but you can't put your driver's license and you can't put bank accounts.
Yeah, I'm sure they're working on it. 1Password.
I hope
great.
So.
So 1Password, it's free, but you need, what's the cost update?
I'm not sure, but that's only because I don't have Appler open right now.
I do.
Okay, that's why good. Does mine... So why does mine keep saying, please unlock 1Password on your phone?
With the actual type the password?
You had to create a PIN for the 1Password app.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't get that problem. But then again, I did have the whole I can't set up Apple Pay on my Apple Watch until I did a reset.
Well, here would be the problem. You got to put in the right PIN.
Yes. I can see where that would be an issue.
Womp womp. Yeah, it's $10 to get full 1Password, so.
I already had that. I mean, that's the pro version, right? That's the pro upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, looks like the guys at 1Password have a Discover card.
Cool.
So, I guess there are people who have that.
All right, so my dad and someone at Agile.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Good to know. All right, so my pick this week is Starwalk. It's $3. It's a really cool astronomy app. So you can check out what's going on. Of course, we've talked about it before. You can just point it up in the sky and figure out what constellations are. And it tells you when meteor showers are happening and just all sorts of really neat stuff. And now there is an Apple Watch app for it. And you may think that's kind of dumb because there's no camera. It's a really tiny screen. But then you realize that all the extra stuff that they provide, again, telling you about when meteor showers, neat celestial things are happening, those are the things that are in the Starwalk app on your watch. So today it says there's going to be a full moon on the 3rd. And I swipe over and, hey, I get to see what the day length is. So 13 hours, 33 minutes today. The sun's up. The moon, 89% waxing gibbous, and there's a little soon calendar. It says, hey, you get the full moon coming up. After that, you have a meteor shower and then a last quarter moon after that. So it gives you a nice little glance at what's going on up in the sky, and that's pretty cool. There's also a glance for it. I just prefer the app. So. But either way, it's a nice thing to have there. And it's a great app to have on your phone. So if you're nerdy about space, check it out. $3. It's totally worth it. And with that, all of our picks in the show notes are at the iosshow.com review in iTunes, in the iTunes store. Tell a friend. And you can send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Our sponsor, of course, this week is Smile with PDF Pen Scan Plus. Go to smilesoftware.com/TIOS to check that out. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet, man, I'm not able to speak anymore.
He's at the Mac Observer.
He's at the MacObserver.com. Mac Observer.
Jay Gamet on Twitter.
TMO that Daily Observations.com/Jeff. Right?
That's right.
And
Fresh Fruit Tales.
Yeah, there you go. And Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter. And anything else?
I was on MacBreak Weekly this week.
Hey,
if you want to hear more talk of the Apple Watch. And of course, the Mac Show over on the British Tech Network, BritishTechNetwork.com.
Cool. So that's how you were talking to Andy Anatko then, huh?
Yeah. And Renee Ritchie and Leo. Cool. It was actually a really good show. I'm pretty proud of it. So if you haven't listened to it in a while, go back, check that one out.
Go get some more Apple Watch on. Was it a pretty much Apple Watch show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Earnings call and Apple Watch.
There you go. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And I'm on applr.com/Michael. And with that, you can. We'll see you next week on the iOS show.
An iPod, a phone, and an internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus. stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck.